what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter periodically at EddieExperience1E in the middle. And with me as always, he also uses Gorilla Glue in his hair, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Is that how you keep it so tight, Jordan?
Eddie, you can't, I mean, you wouldn't know this, my friend. You do not have hair, but you can't get your hair looking like this without Gorilla Glue. I mean, that's the only thing I use.
That explains so much.
So much. Eddie, it is great to see
you. Just tell that girl on Twitter how to get it out.
She's in for some trouble. I think she might as well just shave her head. Eddie, it is great to see you. It is great to talk some fights. First off, you can find us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. And it's great to be here, Eddie. It's there's so much to talk about. And, you know, we had fights over the weekend. We've got fights this weekend. We've got Bellator making news. We've got the PFL out here making news. There is so much going on.
And don't forget about bare knuckles.
Well, I mean,
we're all over the place this week.
That is true. Rough and rowdy, we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Golly.
And then there was a Super Bowl. Did you see that one coming?
The Super Bowl? Yeah, I knew the Super Bowl was happening this weekend, Eddie. I don't know if you didn't know that the Super Bowl was going
to
happen.
Okay, you weren't supposed to sniff the glue, Jordan.
Okay,
well. Just use it on your hair.
You know, it's interesting. I had heard that the O-line for the Chiefs was suspect, right? They had a lot of injuries all year. People who were injured before the year, right before the game. And so there was some, sus on the on that line, right? The line was a little bit suspect. And so... you kind of saw that. I didn't think that was happening. You can't really bet against Patrick Mahomes, especially at this age. But, now that we know he's had surgery, right, it seems like that was a bigger problem than it was. Would I have ever guessed that he would be held to no touchdowns? No, not a chance.
No, I saw a picture online today of the Chiefs plane landing. It said the only touchdown the Chiefs got in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But, yeah, it seemed to me like all week, well, as the week went on, it seemed like the Chiefs, like their heads weren't in the game. You know, you got guys almost getting COVID from getting haircuts. You got the linebackers coach, like, damn near killing people. And I'm like, it just seemed like they weren't focused. News out of Tampa was no news. You know, the Buccaneers were locked and loaded. You didn't hear anything weird coming out of their camp. Chiefs are all over the place. So as the week went by, I changed my pick. I thought it was going to be much closer, but I was saying Tampa by 4.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the end of the day, it wasn't a great game, right? It was kind of a boring game with them not scoring any touchdowns. But it nevertheless, Tom Brady cements himself, right, as the quarterback GOAT, which you have a lot of people talking about, like, is he the greatest athlete of all time in general, like in all sports? I saw you post something about, like, Serena Williams. She has, like, 23 Grand Slam titles. Obviously, Michael Jordan has 6. It's tough, right?
Carl Lewis has 9 Olympic gold medals.
You know, one time...
Don't even get me started on Michael Phelps.
You want to hear a great story about Carl Lewis?
Aside from his national anthem?
Yeah. How about when I threw a football at him and he was very scared of it?
What?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I thought he wanted me to throw a football at him. We were at the Rose Bowl, at the Rose Parade, early 90s or late 80s. And we were out there and he was the Grand Marshal. So he was going around in a car and I had a football in my hand, right? And so I saw him and I waved at him. And then I was like, I did like the sign, like, hey, I'm going to throw a football at you. And I thought that what his response was, like a nod your head. He may have been like shaking his head instead. And anyways, so I threw the ball. He turns the other way. He looks back right at the last second and like freaks out when he sees the ball like almost hitting him. Then like he threw like, so the football is in the car with him going up and I'm like chasing after trying to get my football and then they throw it out over the top. And so I get my football back from Carl Lewis.
So you almost brained my track idol.
Yeah. I hit him with the football, but I wasn't trying to. I was trying to have a friendly game of catch. You've seen like when kids are out there
in the middle of a parade
playing catch with Aaron Judge at in center field. That's the moment I wanted. I wanted to have a nice game of catch with a track star who has nothing to do with a ball sport.
There's better Seth Rollins killing Sting.
Do you love the stories that I come up with just every week?
Last week it was Kramer.
It was like when I came home from Cancun with Michael Chandler, when Oscar De La Hoya tried to buy the house next door to me, It's just, you know, normal stuff that we can all relate to, right?
Yeah, just normal guy, just regular relatable stuff.
Yeah, just normal. I'm a normal guy, just like you.
Just like us.
So, well, Eddie, what did you think? What was your favorite commercial?
I think my favorite commercial were the GM commercials with Will Ferrell.
That was funny. That was good.
Attacking Norway.
Yeah, I that was pretty good too. Obviously, the trailer for Falcon and Winter Soldier. I'm very excited about that. I love WandaVision. I'm all in now on WandaVision. Even though like the first two episodes, I was like,
episodes.
I was like, wait, this is weird. And Drake is like, is this whole show going to be black and white? Because I'm out. But no, it's taking a turn for the crazy and for the incredible. I mean, it's fantastic. And so that was good. I'm trying to think I can't remember what the M&M's commercial was, although I heard people talking about that one.
I was just apologizing to people with M&M's.
Okay.
It was like, oh, I'm sorry I called you a Karen. Oh, here's some M&M's. My name is Karen. Oh, here's some more M&M's.
Okay, well, that's good.
And, of course, it went hit home with us a couple times. He had the flat Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I've met a couple times myself.
Yeah, there you go. Me too.
And then
one time I was hanging out with him in the tent at the Dell Match Play. Him and Michael Dell and Lance Armstrong. You know, just normal stuff.
Just whatever, yeah. Mine was at the UT Stadium. Once underneath it, you know, just the middle of the week. Just hanging out.
Nice.
Once on the sidelines.
I mean, he's the minister of
culture.
Of culture, that's right.
Culture, yeah. But this was like 2004 or something.
Okay.
But also, the other one was Dustin Poirier.
Yes.
He's in a commercial, too.
Yeah.
Rose
Number Eunice?
Can't recall.
Guarantee
what
rate.
What was it for?
Guarantee rate.
Oh, mortgage. That's right.
So, yeah, no, that was great to see. Obviously, it was interesting to see, you know, the UFC letting him use the Conor footage, right? Their golden boy getting
that
getting
was
beat
surprising.
Up. But
I guess Conor can say he's been in a Super Bowl commercial now, too, but Conor, he doesn't want to.
That is true. And what did you think of The Weeknd?
It was all right. That part with the gold kind of funhouse mirrors.
Yeah.
I had to close my eyes.
There's actually
it was going to make me sick.
There's a funny video that's like, it's obviously not real, but it was it's the cameraman for doing that. And it's a guy like holding a camera, like being yanked all around. I thought that was pretty funny. Or a lot of memes coming out of that of people trying to find other things. And it's all over the place. And so did he pay $7 million, I heard?
That's what I heard.
And so he didn't get paid to do it. He actually paid. He wanted to do it. That's crazy.
Yeah, you don't get the NFL doesn't pay you to do the Super Bowl halftime show. You do it for the exposure and the amount of sales that you get in the next week. So apparently, he was putting out a greatest hits album to coincide with this performance. So it'll be interesting to see how his sales shoot up over the week.
Okay. All right. Last thing. The streaker. Right. Did you hear the rumor going around that the streaker? That he bet $50,000 on that there would be a streaker, and I guess the odds were something that where he would make back, you know, $375,000.
Something astronomical, like 750 to 1 or something like that.
It's a fun story. I don't believe it because first off, like most prop bet locations like that, you can't make a $50,000 bet. Maybe like a $50 bet, but most offshore places don't accept prop bets like that. In that amount of money. I'd like to see the receipts, I'll be honest.
You would know this, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, I learn. I look at these things.
Yeah, you're kind of a degenerate.
My wife is from Las Vegas, okay? I go to Las Vegas. I hear things.
Blame it on Marlo.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to
sometimes. What a husband you are.
Yeah, well. Eddie.
In the meantime, I won $250 on DraftKings.
There you go. I'm proud of you. For the Super Bowl or for the fights?
$2.50.
Oh, okay. Yeah. For the fights or the... for the
fights and the Super Bowl.
Okay. There you go. Well, that's good. Good on you. Proud of you.
You know, Eddie, 260.
Every little bit counts.
That's right. So I'm going to go put it in Dogecoin.
Oh, my gosh. Just get after it. All right, Eddie, let's talk fights. We had fights Friday night. Actually, I got a text from you on Friday night saying, did you know Jose Canseco was fighting? And I did know that, actually. And it's funny. Jose Canseco was like my favorite player in like before I was like 7 years old. I don't know why. I don't know why I liked the athletics. I remember going to an Angels game and watching him play, and my brother called him Jose Concrapo. I don't know why he did that.
Oh, and then you had to punch him, right?
But then Jose hit a home run right there. And little did I know just how terrible of a person he turned out to be later on.
Yeah, it's weird because the A's were my other favorite team at the time too, but that was because of Ricky Henderson.
Yeah.
Okay. So my teams are always the Astros and whoever Ricky played for.
Okay.
So at times my second favorite team, Padres, Yankees, Blue Jays. Was it Kansas City? No, that was Bo Jackson.
Giants.
Yeah, so my second favorite team bounced around, Mets.
Okay. Yeah, I quickly moved to Frank Thomas, and, you know, I stand Frank Thomas still. So
that's probably a good move. Yeah, he's one of your earliest good moves.
He's the best. All right, Eddie, let's talk UFC first. We're going to get to the sideshow later when we talk about Knuckle Mania and Rough and Rowdy, which I can't ever imagine we thought that we'd talk about Rough and Rowdy on the show.
But I'm so embarrassed.
UFC Fight Night. Gosh, I think it's Las Vegas 18.
Yeah.
You even had me tweeting about it. And that doesn't happen often, Eddie, where I'm actually watching.
You tweeted?
I think I watched the entire show. I watched the entire fight card. I'm like, not the prelims.
Were the wife and kids out of town?
Let's be honest. Not the prelims. No, my wife was sitting in the bed next to me. She was obviously not watching it, but.
Right. Did you have the Oculus on?
But I was interested to see the Dariush versus Fajeda fight. I wanted to see Pandoja versus Kopp. I wanted to see Clay Guida versus Michael Johnson, which originally we thought that was going to be the main event of the prelims. Sure enough, it's the third fight from the end. And then obviously I wanted to see the two final fights of the night. So let's jump into it. You've got Alexander Volkov defeating Alistair Overeem, second round TKO. This was a strong performance from Volkov, Eddie. And often you complain, you say, you know, these tall fighters, they don't use their height to their advantage. He's 6'7". He's got a 3-inch advantage. I got to say, you have to be pretty happy with Volkov in this fight.
I mean, it only makes sense. You know, we always talk about cage awareness and ring cage IQ, fight IQ. Not using your length to your advantage. I mean, you're just bringing yourself down, just literally down to someone else's level.
Well, the length is actually, their reach is actually the same. They both had an 80-inch reach, which is interesting, but he did have that height, and he was kind of using it to come down on Overeem.
Mm-hmm. And the way that Overeem was in this like weird shell defense, like a little rope-a-dope, I mean, he's protecting his face, but he's not protecting himself from the hooks. He's not protecting himself from body shots. He can't see the kicks coming. I mean, I know he's used this for a few fights now, but it doesn't work long. It takes just a little bit of tape. And all of a sudden, people can see the openings. Like, Muhammad Ali tried it, and it worked well for him. He beat George Foreman. He used it a few more times, but it didn't last long for him either.
What was interesting is that you could see that he was kind of covering up in that shell, and Volkov was patient. He was patient in just looking and being like, oh, I can tee off here and here and here, and he would just throw these combos up, but he was patient in just kind of like looking for that opening and then taking it. And he picked him apart, and really, he blasted his nose. I think he broke his nose he broke Overeem's nose in that first round. In the second round, same thing. It was a lot of damage. He caught him and finally finishes him with a combo and almost like a left hook it was that put him down, dropped him to his knees, and then the ref, Jason Herzog, jumped in and stopped the fight. Good finish, even though, you know, he didn't go finish and ground and pound him on the ground.
Yeah, it's funny. There were times where Overeem was covering up for literally no reason. And Volkov would kind of wait. And you could see he's like thinking, mm-hmm. like, oh, it's just like we practiced. And next thing you know, bam, bam.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes it would just be like 3 seconds of Overeem sitting there. Yeah. Sometimes it would be 3 seconds of Overeem sitting there in a shell with nothing happening. I'm just like, what's going on?
Yeah. No, I saw the same thing. And it's interesting. So congratulations, Volkov. He takes his spot in the top 10. I think he moves to fifth. Overeem drops down to sixth. But unfortunately, there's a little bit of a logjam right at the top of the division. We know that Francis Ngannou is going to fight Stipe Miocic for his title at the end of March. Derek Lewis is fighting Curtis Blaydes. That's headlining a fight card in 2 weeks on February 20th. Ciryl Gane is fighting Jairzinho Rozenstruik. That's in the main event the following week, the 27th. And that's not even including John Jones, right? Who's obviously, we're thinking he's going to make his heavyweight debut at some time this year. And they could move him right to a title fight. So it's very crowded at the top of the division. And if you look at Volkov, since joining the UFC in 2016, he's got 9 fights. He's 7-2 in those fights. Those only 2 losses, Curtis Blaydes back in June of last year and Derek Lewis. And that was a couple years ago, but that was that last second where he was actually winning that fight. And then Derek Lewis threw those bungalows and finished him in the end of the fourth round. And so obviously if Blaydes does defeat Lewis, I can't imagine they're going to run that back with Volkov, because that fight just happened in June of last year. So not even a year ago. Maybe he gets the winner of Rozenstruik versus Gane.
Yeah, that's a much better fight. And you don't want to say it's a keep busy thing, but you have to like separate yourself somehow from the rest of the top 5 there. And that's probably the best bet.
Well, he's not going to get a title fight off of this, obviously.
No, because you know John Jones is likely going to step in. first.
Does John Jones get? Does John Jones get a get ready fight though? Like, does he get one heavyweight tune up fight? And could Volkov be that?
They don't
fight?
Do that in the UFC. UFC does not do tune up fights. If it was Bellator, yeah, because they're much better with business.
Okay. All right, so let's flip it on over to Overeem. Obviously, he made a big deal that this was his final run at the title. He's now has losses to Volkov, Rozenstruik, Blades, Ngannou, Stipe. He's 43 years old. He's still probably better than, you know, of the top 15, probably half of them. But he's not ever going to be in the top, you know, elite of the division. He's never going to get a title shot again, I would think. What do you think?
Especially not fighting like that.
Do you think Overeem should hang it up? He's 43 years old, Eddie. He's your age.
Well, not necessarily, but it looks like he's got, I think, two more fights left on his contract. So what I'd want to see for him is just to kind of stay in shape and stay ready, maybe be a fill-in for someone. Maybe he could pull a Bisping. Who knows?
Yeah. All right.
That's his best chance.
All right, Eddie, let's flip. Golly, this one's sad. I thought for a moment Corey Sandhagen murdered Frankie Edgar with a flying knee on live TV in 28 seconds.
I think technically it'd be manslaughter.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, still, you know, I thought that Frankie could have a chance, right? If he could take Sandhagen down. Sandhagen is prone to takedowns previously, and Edgar has that type of pressure where in a three-round fight, he could keep you on the ground, and he has that kind of he's tough on top, and so he could win that fight that way. It wouldn't be a very fun fight, but I could see that happening. It didn't matter. Corey Sandhagen lands with a flush knee, knocks him out, a shot that would literally put anyone down, and it was a scary moment. Edgar drops straight down, silent. I think Daniel Cormier said that he was kind of twitching, but you know, with no one in the arena,
stiff. You could kind of see his toes curl.
I mean, it wasn't great to see, obviously for Frankie Edgar.
Man, that was really hard to watch, exciting, but hard to watch at the end. And it's just one of those things where the sport just keeps evolving. You know, a couple of years ago, you almost would have bet the house that Frankie could have wrestled him down and kept him down for the whole entire fight. And now, if you're gonna shoot like that, you're going to have to set it up much better. Because these flying knees are coming quick and hard. I mean, just look at two of the best wrestlers MMA's ever seen, Frankie Edgar and Ben Askren.
Yeah.
You know, just got murderized.
Did you see Ben Askren posted the sucks when a video of Frankie getting hit?
No.
Yeah, he knows. Corey Sandhagen now has two highlight KOs in a row. Over top guys, right? Frankie Edgar, Marlon Moraes. You've got to think that he has earned the right to fight the winner of Jan versus Aljamain. But he even called it out, right? TJ Dillashaw is still lurking out there. And Sandhagen said that he wouldn't be fair if they let Dillashaw jump the line. Obviously, I think Corey Sandhagen has done it. But what do you think? Do you think that the UFC would push TJ Dillashaw into a title fight right away?
I don't think so. For one, it's a really bad precedent. And two, I think right now Sandhagen has more to that you can sell to people. Those last two, like, just highlight KOs. I mean, he's quickly becoming one of my favorites with just his last two performances, you know, the way he handled himself after the Frankie knockout, and just his general demeanor. This dude's he's fun to watch. And I think just those highlights themselves would sell the pay-per-view.
So not only is Corey Sandhagen fun to watch, Eddie, but the entire bantamweight division now is got to be one of the most exciting divisions in the UFC, and it's full of killers. You've got Jan, Sterling, Sandhagen, Dillashaw coming back, Cody Garbrandt, Rob Font actually ranked third now. You got Aldo, you got Moraes, you got Dominic Cruz, you got Frankie Edgar, maybe Henry Cejudo comes back. There's so much talent at the top of the division. So that makes you think, like, where does Frankie Edgar fit in there? He's 39 years old. It sounds like, you know, he's not done. I don't expect him to fight for a bantamweight title ever, but what do we do with Frankie?
I only want to see one thing from Frankie, and that's a retirement fight against Dominic Cruz and hang him up.
I thought you wanted him to go to 125 pounds. I thought you wanted him to drop one more. No, yeah. I think a Dominic Cruz fight.
He probably could.
No, don't say that. Don't wish that on someone like that. All right, let's go quickly. We've got a lot more fights to cover.
Yeah, their champ's a killer too.
Benil Dariush defeated Carlos Diego Fajeda. Split decision. Really fun fight. First round was a frenetic pace, but Dariush really won that fight. Did his takedowns. I think he had five during the fight. But there was a lot of
action. Slowed it down there.
Dariush jumped to number 9 at lightweight. Clay Guida got a win over Michael Johnson. 39-year-old Clay Guida shadowboxing in the post-fight interview.
That guy's got so much energy. His blood should be like a drug.
let's not make assumptions on what's in his bloodstream, okay?
A
lot of people were excited about Manel Kopp's debut in the UFC. You know who wasn't excited about it? Alexander Pantoja. He stopped the height. Kopp just didn't show really much at all in those first two rounds. A lot of inactivity. He looked good in the third round, like kind of like he finally got it together, but way too late. And well, I'll be interested to see the former Ryzen star back in there again, but he just didn't have it. And finally,
could have been just octagon jitters.
Yeah, could be. First fight of the night, Ode Osborne, who had a huge KO over Jerome Rivera. Eddie, let's jump. Let's be done with UFC Vegas 18. Let's go to BKFC.
Going from Saturday to Friday.
Britton Hart defeated Paige VanZant in what you've got to think is a disaster for PVZ. She comes over, she leaves the UFC, she goes to BKFC, and she loses in her debut to a 4-4 boxer and a 1-2 BKFC fighter who lost to Beck Rawlings, a girl that, you know, Paige already beat once. This has got to be a bad, right?
It's definitely not ideal. But, you know, the fact that she made about $400,000 just for showing up, and who knows how much on her sponsorships, I think Paige is going to be all right. She's got a couple more fights on that contract. She's probably going to get a rematch with Britton Hart at some point soon. And the way that she finished in the fifth round showed that she kind of figured it out.
She did adjust.
Yeah, you don't just get in there and bare-knuckle fight. Because I like to say bare-knuckle box, but it's not just boxing. You know, she came out in the first round. She was really on her toes, moving a lot, like a boxer. But with the whole clinching and just not being able to really tee off on someone for fear of breaking your hand, it changes things a lot.
Well, after the fight, she did tell her husband right away that she was done. She didn't want to fight ever again. It looks like she's softened that stance, that she's not a quitter. She'll fight Hart again. But Britton Hart, how about her? She made the most of her moment, Eddie. She had an incredible post-fight interview. I'm gonna have to censor this, but I want to play it.
Please censor.
I'm not a person, though. I'm not. I'm a feeling, and all of you guys are gonna feel it.
Okay, I'm not sure what that means, Eddie, but I like it. She is a feeling, and we're gonna feel that.
And also, after the fight, another fighter jumped in the ring. You know, BKFC needs much better security. Another girl jumps in the ring, and then Britton Hart dumps her bottle of water on her head.
I did see that. Chris Lieben.
Like, that's baller.
Let's go, Chris Lieben. I didn't see that one. Tell me about the Chris Lieben knockout.
Oh, man. It started off, you know, not too bad. At some point, Chris Lieben punches Quentin Henry. Henry claims that he got poked in the eye. You know, replay showed it was a punch. But for some reason, the ref continues to let Quentin Henry, you know, recover. It's like, you still got up to 5 minutes. I'm like, no, it was a punch. Start the fight. But whenever they do finally restart the fight, Henry comes out like a wild man, and they're just swinging and banging, like right up Lieben's alley, unfortunately for Henry. And then, not too long, Lieben lands a knockout left, lights out, gloves come off. Well, there are no gloves. But he said if he had gloves, he would have left them in the ring.
Okay.
And this is supposedly it for Lieben, unless someone else throws more money at him. I mean, it's hard to think you need to go out when you go out like that. Hawaiian boxer Det Nguyen beat former UFC bantamweight Johnny Bedford for the 135-pound title in a fun co-main event.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's finish on something weird. Rough and rowdy.
Oh, boy. Oh,
Billy Football defeats Jose Canseco.
What's Billy Football?
Jose Canseco. So Billy Football is like an intern on Pardon My Take. And so somehow this came up there. He's boxing Jose Canseco. Canseco comes out. He takes a shot. Barely, doesn't even look like he took a shot, but he goes down. Can't continue. Says he injured his shoulder. Said it was hurt going into the fight. He made $1 million for 5 seconds of work. You got Dave Portnoy, El Presidente. He is saying that that he took a dive. What say you? Did Jose Canseco take a dive for the money?
I'd say he at least came into this under false pretenses, knowing that he was injured, but he was getting a revenue share of the pay-per-view, so he wanted to make sure the fight went on, which I can't blame him for. But it didn't look like any punch landed that clean.
Yeah, it did not look like that.
Well, except for that last one, a little bit of a ground and pound.
How about that guy Shizat Rizat? Did you see that one where he knocked out some dude cold? Where like he crossed his legs when he fell down and just was like laying. I mean, it was bad. But Eddie, I know you were excited.
No.
You texted me about this moment. Go ahead.
The BMFM belt, Jordan. You know, the UFC has their BMF title. Rough and Ready has the BMFM title between two little people, I guess. Dwarves? I'm not sure which one. Definitely use little people. So don't make me explain what that means.
So it would be it should be BMFLP, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. It's not. It does not say that.
It does not. And it is literally spelled out on the belt. But now one of our favorites, and Stu knows all about him, Dylan Postal, formerly known as WWE's Hornswoggle, wants in on the action. And he wants to fight the new BMF title holder, Jeremy Smith. And as you know, you can already guess, Barstool is in for it.
I bet. Man, that was...
And I had to warn you about the ring girls. I didn't want you sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to watch any of that. So, all right, Eddie, that was Rough and Rowdy. That was Knucklemania and UFC Vegas 18. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
It's What's Up With That.
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had a bigger cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at. But we can still jam on What's Up With That. Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? You, yeah. Woo! Well.
And welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. That's Jordan. And just a quick scheduling note, next week we will be podcast only. So keep that in mind as Texas sports has a smorgasbord of games next week and weekend. So just stay tuned for that only online next week. Jordan, did you love Saturday Night Live?
You know, I like Schitt's Creek. I think it's a
you
got to put that on the bottom. And so I like Dan Levy, right? And I enjoyed seeing that. But it was
I haven't watched
good.
The show, but I liked him.
I think there was some fun. I liked the monologue. I thought that was funny. It was funny. I was watching it with my wife. And as he's going out to the back, I said, watch, there's going to be some flamingo dancers and there's going to be a llama. And he turns around a couple corners. And sure enough, there in the back is the flamingo and the llamas there.
Is that a thing from the creek?
No, that's a thing from every time they go backstage in SNL, there's always flamingo dancers and there's always a llama. That's an SNL thing, and it's been there forever. So
I've never noticed that.
Yeah, check it out next time. Watch any show they go where they go backstage during the monologue. It'll always be there.
Okay. Well, let me say, Jordan, I felt like they were like peeking in on my apartment, almost personally attacked, when they ran that Zillow commercial where instead of having... you know, fun alone time, you spend your nights looking at Zillow and seeing how much house you could afford in different places. I'm like, dude, they've been peeking in on me. Zillow, Realtor.com, Redfin, all over them. At least once a week. Yeah. But now, Jordan, we recorded a little late this week because we wanted to make sure that we were able to squeeze in the Bellator press conference that they had to announce their 2021 lineup, and some big news. What's up with that?
All right, Eddie. Bellator is headed to Showtime this year. They're going
to
go for
what happened to CBS Sports Network.
CBS and Showtime have an agreement. Really, they're owned by the same company, I think Viacom, and so they've got a deal. And so Showtime has decided they want to bring mixed martial arts back to a premium station like Showtime, and they're going to start it on April 2nd. It's going to air on Friday nights. After 8 years of being off Showtime, MMA is back, Eddie. They're starting on April 2nd, Patricio Freire versus Emmanuel Sanchez. This is the semifinals of the Featherweight Grand Prix. The winner will fight against AJ McKee in June. There's three fights in April, and then it's probably going to be about two fights a month after that. They also announced an 8-man light heavyweight tournament starting on April 9th. And Eddie, I want to give you the matchups in the first round on April 9th. You've got Corey Anderson versus Dovletshan Yagshimuradov. That's in the co-main event. This is Yagshimuradov is going to be making his Bellator debut. And,
yeah, apparently they say he's the best light heavyweight outside of the major organizations.
Could be. Then you got Ryan Bader versus Lyoto Machida. That is one side of the bracket, all right? That's a rematch. You've got Vadim Nemkov versus Phil Davis, and that's going to be the main event. And the co-main event, you've got Yoel Romero versus Anthony Rumble Johnson. Eddie, you look at the top eight in Bellator, you've got to think that these top eight could really be the best light heavyweights in the world. When you compare them against UFC, they are really good, and it's a really good top of the division. I was a little confused. I didn't really want to see Rumble versus Yuel in the first round, but we've been there before. We've seen Grand Prix where we thought they were going to try, you know, Fedor versus Alistair Overeem, for example. We thought was going to happen. It never did in the heavyweight Grand Prix over in Strikeforce. But I at least probably would have wanted to see them in a different bracket than Nemkov. I'd like to see Romero versus Nemkov or Rumble versus Nemkov in the finals. I thought that would have been fun, as opposed to, you know, Bader versus, could be Bader versus Nemkov or Bader versus one of those guys. Also, they have Juan Archuleta versus Sergio Pettis. Valerie Laredo, she was...
Bantamweight title, yeah.
Valerie Laredo was there. Aaron Pico was there. Diego Lima was there. A lot going on. What did you think of Bellator's announcement?
Well, first off, I'm still a little upset because I upped my cable package to get CBS Sports Network, and now they're leaving it. So now I got to go, like, bring it back down, maybe get Showtime. That part annoys me. But it's cool that they're bringing it back because they used to have Strikeforce on Showtime. And then they had the Strikeforce Contender Series, which they actually brought to the Cedar Park Center that one time. I don't think you made it, but I was there.
I actually think I met you there, Eddie. You were there with Foss.
Were you? Okay.
And Ryan Couture fought on that card, and Randy Couture was there cornering him.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Look at that. The Gorilla Glue hasn't affected your memory.
That is when we met.
It's kind of cool that they're bringing it back, and I just want them to settle on a place. You know, so it was The Zone, it was Paramount, it was CBS Sports Network,
yeah.
It was Showtime. Sometimes it's on their own app. Sometimes it's on Facebook. I'm like, dude, pick something. Stick with it. I was fine with CBS Sports Network, you know. But now it's like Showtime. So we'll see how that works for them. Now, I got to wonder if they're going to have any events on CBS Sports Network or maybe any events on Big CBS. So we'll guess we'll have to see how that shakes out. But I would have preferred, like, big tentpole events on Showtime and then other events on CBS Sports Network. The PFL, Jordan, also announced their fighters and schedule for the upcoming season. What's up with that?
Yeah, so the PFL is coming back in April as well. They're starting on April 23rd, and they're going to run May 6th, June 10th, June 17th, June 25th. That's the first round on ESPN2 and ESPN+. They also announced all the fighters in each division. A few to note, you have Anthony Pettis at lightweight. You got Rory McDonald at welterweight. Fabricio Verdum is at heavyweight. Kayla Harrison, obviously, back at the women's lightweight division?
Yes, I was looking it up. She's actually not going to feather. She's staying lightweight.
Okay, then you got Tom Lawler and Chris Camozzi. They're going to be featured in the light heavyweight division. So a lot of interesting talent going to be there. I actually really like that lightweight division.
Yeah, it's nice that they've got recognizable names in each division. That's a pretty good way to keep things rolling. But Jordan, Nate Diaz did an interview with ESPN this week. I don't even have to ask if there's anything interesting because it's Nate Diaz. So you know there's something interesting. What's up with that?
Yeah, a couple things. So Nate Diaz does not want to fight at 155 pounds. He says there is nothing there for them. He's beat everyone there at 155 pounds. Even Khabib, remember he slapped him at that PFL event, and so he counts that as a win over him as well. He would be interested, though, in fighting Charles Oliveira or Dustin Poirier at 165 pounds or 170 pounds, he said. He didn't think, obviously, much of the McGregor-Poirier 2 fight. He thought he was getting the rematch against Masvidal, but they took it away, and he's not really sure why. He said that there's nothing there at 170 pounds for him either. He says he does want to fight in April or May, wants to fight 4 times this year, 2 times minimum.
Well, I am all in for Nate Diaz and 165-pound title. Let's make it happen. I mean, but if he says there's nothing for him at lightweight, then he says there's nothing for him at welterweight, I'm like, dude, what's left? Is he going up to middleweight?
He says there's no one that excites him at welterweight, but he'd like to fight 165 pounds, 175, 190. He doesn't care, just not at 155 pounds.
But no one excites him?
No.
Anywhere. That's weird, except maybe Masvidal, I guess. All right, well, speaking of the 155-pound division, there's another week of drama around the lightweights. What's up with that?
Yeah, we just need to get some finality there, right? So Match TV shared a quote from Khabib. They said he told Dana he doesn't want to hold up the division and that Poirier should be the champion. Again, we need finality here. We got to move on from Khabib. He's not coming back. But according to sources, the UFC does look to be moving forward, and they're going to do, I know you love this, the trilogy, Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor for the belt. So an immediate rematch for McGregor for the belt.
Do you remember? A title shot off a loss, man.
Well, the UFC's done that quite a few times. The UFC, they also mentioned that, you know, last week we talked that they offered Michael Chandler and Charles Oliveira a fight at UFC 258, a non-title fight. Chandler accepted. Oliveira turned it down. It looks like Oliveira might be left out of the mix now. You got Chandler maybe fighting Gaethje at some time.
Well, it was really unfair for Oliveira because he hadn't been in camp. Chandler had, coming off a short fight where he took no damage. So he was basically in shape and ready to go. Oliveira would have to cut weight and get in shape. And it was just no win for him. It was a bad situation all around. So I can't say I blame him.
Yeah, do I think that the Poirier versus McGregor fight is ideal? No. But I am glad that they're going to be moving forward. That's what I want to see.
What I want to see is them hold a press conference and hand Dustin the strap. Now, I want his first defense to be against Charles Oliveira. And then have Chandler and Gaethje, number one contenders match. Maybe the loser faces Conor. Maybe Conor fights someone else, like Nate Diaz. You know? But why would everything make sense? Why would they do something like that? It's too smart. But Jordan, good news. The Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather debacle is off for now. What's up with that?
Yeah, so a while ago we heard that Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul, they announced that they'd be fighting in the ring on February 20th. They talked about this tiered pricing model. You could get in early for the pay-per-view, and you could get it for $24.99, but nothing has been said about it. It hasn't been rescheduled, and it's not happening in 2 weeks, right? Logan Paul, still optimistic it's going to happen, but he did say that obviously, you know, Floyd, one of the highest paid fighters ever, he is 1,000% sure that they're going to make it happen. They just don't know when. So hopefully for Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul's sake, they can do it. Unfortunately for everyone else, it sounds like they still may do it.
Do they say how much weight Paul's going to have to lose to face Mayweather?
I haven't heard anything about it.
All right, Jordan, hit us with some new fights.
All right, so we've got Arnold Allen versus Sadiq Youssef. You got Tracy Cortez versus Justine Kish. All right, here's some good ones, Eddie. Tyron Woodley for fighting Vicente Luque. That's UFC 260. Sean O'Malley fighting Thomas Almeida. You got Johnny Walker was supposed to fight Jimmy Crute. He's got a torn pectoral. It sounds like Anthony Smith is going to step in and fight Jimmy Crute. Mike Jackson, the truth from Houston, going to fight Dean Barry. And finally, Cowboy Cerrone going to send Diego Sanchez into the swan song, into retirement. There's a little bit of bad blood there, right? Diego says a few things about Cowboy after they used to train together. And when Cowboy left Jackson's, Diego had some comments to say about it. So that should be interesting. So, Eddie, that's new fights. That's up. What's up with that, guys? You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Until next time, hey, 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 hey. Ooh. What's up with that? What's up with that?
Eddie Cross, my friend, the champ is here this Saturday night, UFC 258, the Nigerian Nightmare. Kamaru Usman puts his welterweight title on the line against a former teammate and a current friend, I think. Gilbert Burns, UFC 258, this Saturday night on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. This is a fight. We talked about this before. This is a way to celebrate your Valentine's Day, Eddie. Going over to a sports bar, leaving your loved ones, and watching Kamaru Usman and Gilbert Burns go after it. This fight has lost a lot of luster, right? We talked about Chandler versus Oliveira. That would have made this fight really good. But you had Chris Weidman versus Uriah Hall was supposed to be the co-main event. That's off. Weidman gets COVID, loses 12 pounds. Jimmy Rivera was supposed to fight Pedro Munhoz.
I didn't lose anything when I got COVID. What the? That's unfair.
That's off because of COVID as well. And then you got Macy Barber versus Alexa Grasso in the co-main event. Kelvin Gastelum versus Ian Heinisch. They're fighting at middleweight. Bobby Green fighting Jimmy Miller. Bilal Muhammad fighting Diego Lima. Ricky Simone fighting Brian Kelleher. Those are just a few of the names that are on UFC 258. Eddie, let's talk about this main event. Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns. a fight that was supposed to happen in July, the inaugural fight at Fight Island. What do you think about this fight card?
Like you said, it could be a little better, but that main event is bananas. You know, two of the most well-rounded fighters in the UFC total. Great on the ground, both of them, but in different aspects. So it's going to come down to basically probably their ground games canceling each other out, and we're going to see who's better on the feet. And with that, I'm going to probably have to go with Kamaru Usman.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, right? So Usman, undefeated in the UFC, last lost a fight back in 2013, way before he came to the UFC. And Burns on a 6-fight winning streak, got wins over Tyron Woodley, Damian Maia, Gunnar Nelson, a few other fighters there. He last lost to Dan Hooker at lightweight in 2018. So we know that he could get clipped, right? Usman's a couple inches taller than him. He's got a 5-inch reach advantage. But I think what's going to be the most interesting thing is, though, that we already know. Well, we don't know. Some people already know who's going to win this fight. And those people are Gilbert Burns and Kamaru Usman. They know who's going to win this fight because these guys train together. They know who got the upper hand. And now we don't know that. And we don't know that because we weren't in that training room. But what's interesting is that somebody clearly was better than the other person in training because these guys went after it all the time. And you heard Daniel Cormier talk about it this week when he fought Cain. He knew that he wasn't better than Cain. He knew that. So that's why he never wanted to fight him. And so it'll be interesting to hear, no matter what happens, if that, you know, training talk ever gets out and we ever hear about what's going on there. But I have to.
Well, what if they were really close in training? What if they're really close to each other, you know? Maybe one of them that was a little bit less. Maybe he's got some more tricks up his sleeve.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know, it's going to be really mental. The mental aspect of this one's going to be really big.
Usman's got great takedown defense. Obviously, he's got really high-level wrestling. It's high-level wrestling versus high-level jiu-jitsu. So I'm not sure either fighter will be able to, you know, do much on the ground. Like you said, it's going to cancel out. We've seen Kamaru Usman stand and bang. He did that with Colby Covington almost the entire fight there. I've got Usman by decision in this fight. I don't know. Did you have it by decision, or did you have him stopping him at some point?
I got him stopping probably the fourth or fifth.
Okay. All right, so let's go to the co-main event. You got Macy Barber, Alexa Grasso. Macy Barber, she had that rocket ship on her back a few years ago. She came in. She was a hot prospect. She lost to Roxanne Modafferi last year. She had an ACL surgery. She tore her ACL during that fight. She now faces Alexa Grasso, who's fresh off a win over Ji-Yeon Kim back in August. Macy Barber, she was trying to become the youngest champion in the UFC, but now she's ready to get back after it. I'm excited to see her. Is this really a co-main event? No, not really.
No, it's the next to last fight.
Kelvin Gastelum fighting Ian Heinisch. Gastelum is coming off 3 losses in a row. Adesanya, Darren Till, and Jack Hermanson. Ian Heinisch recently got a win over Gerald Meerschaert back in June. That could be fun. And then Bobby Green versus Jim Miller. Prelim main event. The 37th fight in the UFC for Jim Miller. Currently tied with Cowboy Cerrone
now
for the most UFC fights. That's incredible. Jim Miller, Bobby Green. That's going to be a banger. I'm actually really excited for that fight.
Yeah, that one really should have been moved up to the co-main.
Yeah,
but, I agree. You know, you do what you got to do.
Yep. Well, Eddie, it's been fun, my friend, and it's great to talk fights. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We are proud to be the official MMA show of the 104.9 The Horn, the Longhorn Station. 104.9 The Horn, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. Again, check us out at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and thanks so much for listening.
As a reminder, next week we will be podcast only due to all the Longhorn sports, but you know where to find us. And remember, as always, stay safe, keep your social distance, get vaccinated if you can, stay positive, and don't be a jerk. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.